What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chew New Podcast once again. This ugly thing is back. As you can see in here, I don't know how or why. I don't know. I mean, I said his name three times.
Like, you left the door unlocked.
This is true. I did have the door unlocked. But guys, by the way, today we are going live on YouTube and also TikTok. TikTok, buddy.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking about.
We TikTok. Made it. Oh, this is gonna be good.
I hope so. Not for you, buddy.
I haven't been thrown off the talk in a while, dude.
That's what you call it, the talk?
Yeah,
the talk. That's interesting. It's the talk. All right, anyways. But guys, hang on there. This is episode 247. We got a special guest with us today. Hang in there. Let's get going. Let's go.
Do this.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Chew New Podcast. And today's guest, special guest, he's been in here a couple of times. He's been on the podcast a couple of times, but he's always that baby in the corner. I mean, Chew knows what I'm talking about, baby in the corner,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's always in the corner. We keep putting him in the corner.
Well, got, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to introduce the owner of Combat Cold Wrestling, Mr. Eddie Garza on the podcast. What's going on, Eddie? How you doing, man?
Welcome, buddy. Doing all right. I'm doing okay.
All right, man. Welcome to the podcast. This is actually a first podcast we have you on here. Solo guest.
You were the babysitter the last couple of times here.
Well, not exactly, because you got your ass kicked at one of them. But that was all good and fun. You're feeling better now.
Everybody had a good time. It's fine.
I've taken chops from Pete before. Fine. So I know he can be a little rough.
And there's been other
chops
stuff.
From Pete? Really? I don't think so.
But we are live on YouTube and on TikTok, so we're gonna do professionally like we always do. We try our best. At least I try our best. I'm not sure about Chew, but we try our best to keep us stay in the green, not in the red.
My leg's coming off one way or another today. So
the green or the red, man. So Eddie, coming on the podcast today, I know, first of all, since it is the first time you've come on the podcast, we didn't even need to get to know who you are, where you grew up, and how we got into combat cult. So take it away, man. It's all you.
Well, Eddie Garza, born and raised here in Weslaco, Texas. You know, the journey to combat cult was pretty crazy. As you all know, you know, Pete Payne is, because you can say he's like one of my mentors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I met Pete at Wrestling Revolution back in, I want to say like it was 2017 or maybe even 18.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was aspiring to be a wrestler, you know, trying to train. Did security there with WR and things didn't really pan out, you know, obviously, because I'm not a wrestler.
Right.
But I always had this creative bone in me where I like storylines. Mm-hmm. I like putting together these narratives. And there was one point there where I stood there at WR and I was like, man, like I want to get my hands in on like the creative side of things.
Yeah.
You know, because it... We all kind of like think it'd be so cool to be a wrestler, and it is cool.
Right.
But I just didn't have the time to dedicate to training at
right.
the time.
Right.
I even now, like, more so now that I have, you know, my wife and my child.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, even at the time, I didn't really have the time you needed to dedicate to being a wrestler. So,
right.
You know, I told Pete one day, like, I think I want to just try my hand at something creative.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete was doing some stuff too. You know, he had a show that he ran and. You know, COVID hit,
yeah,
and right. that changed the game for everybody, for everybody, you know. So
yeah.
At the time, we ended up getting the stimulus. You know, thank you, Daddy Trump, for the stimulus. We got the stimulus, and you know, I told myself, like, I have to make this money count somehow. And mm-hmm. At the time, I purchased my ring,
mm-hmm.
and at the time, I kind of thought like maybe I could use it, you know, set it up in my backyard and. Maybe train here and there with some guys.
Backyard wrestling.
Yeah. Baby. You know, Pete was training, you know, in another yard somewhere else at mm-hmm. the time too. And, you know, I'd go and show up there here and there. But I bought the ring thinking, you know, maybe I can dedicate some more time to training. And then maybe at the same time, you know, a couple years from now, maybe get my own promotion started. Because right. that's really where my passion is the creative side of things.
Right.
So, you know, I told Pete, you know, Pete got me linked up with some guys, Evil Masters, over in Brownsville.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to rent the ring at the time, and you know, they wanted to put their own show.
Mm-hmm.
and they kind of asked me, hey, do you want to join up on this? Like, do you know any wrestlers, this and that? And, you know, I had a few connections that I had where I could make, where I could get some wrestlers to come down.
Mm-hmm.
So we discussed it, and they're like, well, welcome aboard. So, you know, I didn't really plan on Combat Cult happening when it happened. I was really thinking it would happen, you know, in a few years time.
Right.
But I kind of just, they threw me into, you know, swim with the sharks, and, you know, here I am now.
Now, Combat Cult itself, I know that kind of branched out after Wrestling Revolution, because, you know, Wrestling Revolution was kind of the big thing here in the RGV for the meanwhile. When this branched out, did you figure, consider the other promotions that are out there right now, and, you know, they're out there also doing their thing. Was it something as like a goal to you? Is that, you know what, I gotta put on my big shoes and I gotta do my thing now?
It's more like that now. At the time, I was kind of just trying to navigate how this whole, you know, show works. And, of course, there's still things to learn here and there. I'm always learning. But, yeah, you know, when I first started, it was kind of just figuring things out. Now I'm at a point, close to 3 years in. Now I've kind of hit a rhythm where, like, I know what works. I know my target audience. I know who I'm, the crowd that I want to draw.
Right.
I know who they want to see. I know who they don't want to see. I know, you know, the kind of attractions that would bring some people in. And if you look at our attendance at Cine Rey, that kind of shows for it. We have over 100 paying customers each show that we've had.
Yeah.
And they all love the show. We get so much positive feedback saying, you know, this show was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had one fan come to us and told us, like, I didn't have very high expectations when I saw that the ticket prices were what they were.
Right.
But, you know, I would have paid $40 for that front row seat. Mm-hmm. So that made me think, like, damn, like, we really are putting out a quality product out here.
And consider the fact the wrestling events are happening in the historical Cine Rey. That's where most of all the... Did you ever catch a wrestling match over in Cine Rey?
Absolutely. Me and the Beefy Boys, we went to a couple of matches there one time. And I got to tell you, the difference between, you know, each show has been really... It's definitely like...
It's entertaining, bro.
It's entertaining. It's entertaining. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, it's entertaining. It's fun. And, you know, everybody gets into it. Yeah, I can see why.
And consider the fact being there, being as it known as the actual place of the birthplace of a lot of the wrestling associations that are in the RGV that try to get in there, you know, what's ahead of you. Having your promotion in there now... I mean, that's got to be a pretty good feeling, man.
Yeah, no, it's definitely special. I think everybody looks at Cine Rey as a, like you said, like kind of the birthplace of everything that's going on now.
Yeah.
I, there was wrestling before that, but I feel like Cine is kind of like the mecca. You know, like that's the Madison Square of the Valley. People, you know, you talked about, you know, your experience back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, people still think...
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling happens at Cine Rey,
right?
You know, or hey, I remember WR back in the day. This and this, you know. So it's got its nostalgic feel to it. Honestly, you know, you sit at a show. We've had shows different places,
right?
You know, we've had them here downstairs at Suerte when it was here.
Yeah,
we have them over here at Señor Barba's. You know, a couple of other, you know, places.
Mm-hmm.
But sitting there at Cine, it just brings a different feel to mm-hmm. to the entire show. It just feels
right
grander, you know, bigger.
And we already got one of our first guys. I know Jacinto Rivera III's on here saying, hey, what's up, guys? And Jacinto's saying, get the guy with the sunglasses out of here. Eddie, chop him. That's what they're saying, right?
All right, you know what? We'll just turn the show off. All right? We'll chop the show off right now.
Let's not do that.
Yeah. We can't do that, but I feel your pain, Jacinto. I wouldn't mind seeing Eddie actually giving him a good, nice chop.
I'll take my leg off, Jacinto. I'll take everybody out.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that, buddy. We don't want to get canceled.
Or do we?
Or do we? You know? But so doing, like I said, having your show in Cine Rey, which is, you know, like the granddaddy. I mean, to me, it's the granddaddy, especially that place, because it's so historical, bro.
Right.
It's so historical. You know, that's... I've been to one Wrestling Revolution a couple of matches back in the day, and you know, and then when it finally died out, we're like, it was in kind of like a little bit of a limbo.
Yeah.
And then you saw, you know, you had other promotions. You had Danny Chance make one. Then you had Combat Cult make one. Then you had a lot of these promotions from Mexico jumping over and making some. You're like, wow, it hasn't died out. It's still going on.
I think COVID just kind of put a pause on things. I don't really think anything died because there was people trying to figure out how to make things happen. Like Pete had a show. There was Make a Difference Wrestling there at Cena Today. They were trying to do, I believe it was some stuff like on YouTube or TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were still trying to make things happen. Mm-hmm. New Breed, I think, had just opened their school around that time, too. Yeah. So, you know, everybody was still trying to figure out. And even, like, on the big, you know, the big leagues, like WWE, you know, they were still trying to make things happen.
Right,
so,
I
don't think it died. I think people were just trying to figure, like, because COVID was just, it changed everything. Like, it really did. And
I was gonna say that too, because like from before COVID to today, it's like a completely different.
Yeah, and it was like a huge boom, right? As soon as COVID passed, like I think people just wanted to go out and enjoy things.
It came back with a vengeance, for sure. Yeah,
no even kidding. Like in WWE is the prime example. Like they were in a very weird place. They were failing. It wasn't positive. I wouldn't say failing because they were still the juggernaut. But they weren't like, people didn't really like the show. There were so many complaints.
Yep.
Coming out of COVID, everything just boomed. Like everything, everybody started liking what was going on.
Yeah, and I got Hasito coming up here. It says, Eddie gave Nikki the opportunity to perform at Cena Today. She treated like her WrestleMania in the 956. I mean, I've seen the events, man. When you guys hold events out there, it gets big, man. It gets jam-packed.
Yep,
and anybody that's been to a wrestling event here in the RGV, especially if it's at the Landmark, even if it's over here, Senor Barros downtown Wesico, or here where it used to be here downstairs at Suerte, you know, it's... People come. They want to see. They want to be entertained. They want to see. Let's go check this out. Let's see if it's any good, you know.
Yeah.
And they get entertained by it. Now, let me go back to your actual first venue, your first official venue of Combat Cult.
Oh, here we go.
Now, getting the promotions going, you got it's opening night. What is going through your mind? Because I know that's got to be nerve-wracking, bro.
It was.
So take us step by step on what was going on and what was going on in your head. All right, go ahead.
So that happened at the Woodman Life Ballroom in San Juan. October 22nd, 2022 or 3, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time, I was a Woodman Life rep. It's a life insurance agency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was able to get that ballroom, you know, for a good price. And I had contacted a few wrestlers to get that going. Evil Masters had their part of the show. Pete had his part of the show. So it was kind of like a three-way dance for us. But, yeah, you know, I didn't know what I was doing so much. You know, I had never planned an event at all.
Right.
Okay.
Not even so much as like a birthday party had I ever planned. So... So, you know,
I'm making a birthday party and there's like 90 people coming, so I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
cake. I forgot the cake. The cake. But yeah, no, the event itself, you know, it didn't draw what, you know, we had hoped, but it was still fun. Like the wrestlers went out there, they did their thing. I think whoever was there did have a good time.
Right.
But again, like we didn't know anything about marketing things, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't know anything about, you know, the date. That date, there ended up being like three other shows, even like in San Juan.
Right, right.
You know, so we didn't really think about all of the logistics behind it. But yeah, you know, it was kind of nerve-wracking. We had to figure out. I mean, I think the easy part of producing shows is getting the actual like wrestlers, like the matchmaking and having the match go about. I think that's the easy part. And I think we knocked out of the park. It was all the other little intricate things, like I said, marketing and and stuff like that we didn't really put a lot of effort into. Mm-hmm. And you know, we had bought flyers and posters and whatnot, and I think we had passed a good amount of them out.
Right.
But we still didn't take time to really push that, because it does take a lot of time to push
it
show
does.
That scale.
It's been, it does.
You know, but yeah, you know, that standing there that day, finally seeing it kind of come to fruition, it was kind of like, okay, we got past this one. And again, it wasn't really like our best show, but it did teach me a few things. You know, it made me think, okay, I got to look at this whole thing from a business standpoint. Because from there, I was kind of just being a fan and kind of like, you know, kind of just excited to be part of something.
And that's what they want to ask you when it's happening. I mean, being a fan, I mean, you're like, you're running it, but then obviously, did you get lost? Like, oh, so I got to watch this match.
Not so much. Honestly, I spent a lot of the time in the back with the guys, kind of just jumping in between, checking to see if the match was good, you know, going fine.
Right.
Then going back there to see if everybody was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and at the time, my wife and even my family members were like, hey, maybe you should just sit down and watch. Because even, like, Pete was back there. Like,
right,
Pete could have taken care of all
of
that.
Have your own little, like, little gorilla area.
Yeah, it was kind of taken care of. But I felt like, oh, no, like, I have to be, you know, kind of facilitating things. Because I this is my show, you know, along with the other guys. It was,
right.
But I was part of the show. And, you know, I felt like I had to facilitate things. So I didn't really get to sit down and watch everything up until, like, the main event. So, which is the match that I kind of put together.
Right, right.
And, you know, I didn't really get, like I said, I didn't get to enjoy it. But now, even the first couple of shows here at Suerte, I didn't really get to sit down and enjoy. I would have wrestlers come up to me and ask, like, hey, what did you think of the match? And honestly, guys, I didn't really get to watch it. I'm sorry. I was kind of running back and forth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have the video. You know, I'll go back and watch it. Review it. And, you know, I'll give you my perspective from like a fan standpoint, because I'm not a wrestler. I'm not a producer. I really don't know, you know, what to critique you on unless it's from a fan standpoint.
Right, exactly.
So, and even to this day, like, I kind of tell the guys that, even though now I have more experience, I still tell the guys, like, look, I'm going to critique you from a fan standpoint. Again, because I'm still not a wrestler. I can't tell you, you know, you should have done this, this, and this.
Right.
But from like, just me being a fan, like, this is what I would have thought could have happened, or this is what I liked about it. So that's kind of how that goes. But
how many shows do you have under your belt already, man, so far? So, I mean, now that it's already been like 2 years already, over
two
3 years.
And a half, almost 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. How many shows more or less?
I honestly lost count. the first year we did about once a month. So that was at least, you know, 10 to 12. I think we skipped like one or two. The second year, I think we did maybe about the same. This year we were on our fifth show. So okay, I kind of spread things out on these a little bit, just because we're at Cena Rey, things are a little bit bigger. There's a ton of wrestling already going on every week, you know, here either at the Landmark other promotions that might be doing something. So
right.
I figured, okay, you know what? I need to make my show a little bit different. Make it a little bit bigger, have a bigger budget for it, and then, you know, have it maybe once every 6 to 8 weeks, so that way, you know, it gives fans time to kind of think,
right,
to kind of like plan for it ahead of time too.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, I think we were maybe like at five shows now.
And I'm sorry, go ahead, Jim.
No, I was just going to say, like, I know you were mentioning, like, that one fan who said, oh, I would have paid like $40 for a front seat. What's been other, you know, feedback from the fans that you've gotten?
You know, it's kind of hard to kind of gauge what the feedback is, because everything is like in the moment that it happens, that people are coming to me, oh, it's so good, this is so good. Okay. I don't get a ton of feedback, you know, after the fact when people have already digested things. But it's mostly been positive. I think kind of like the only hiccups we've ever had are kind of like technical difficulties.
Right.
But as far as matches, what I focus on a lot, and I say this almost all the time, I probably even said it just a while ago, I focus on the quality of the matches. So when these, you know, our locals, that was the whole reason for me starting Combat Cult. I really wanted to emphasize local talent, and I figured what's a better way to do it. I mean, they wrestle each other all the time, right?
Right.
They're going to know each other. They might just start going through the motions. Let me start bringing some talent from out of town that can kind of mix it up with them. And that way, it's honestly brought out the best in them. You know, Kike Caballero, I love Kike. I don't know if you guys have had him on the show before.
Not yet.
He's a cool dude. He had a match with our champion, Brick Savage, in... Jesus, what was it? I think March.
That's one thing I was talking to Chu about. I go... we were talking about in the vehicle on the way over. He goes, it's weird how, you know, like you said, you know, they got the stimulus check, whatsoever, and people go out and buy this high caliber equipment like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, they go nuts, and then, yeah, let's start our own show, or let's go do a wrestling show, or I want to open up my own business.
Yeah.
And they're doing it, And it's like,
by the third week.
By the third week, they're gone. Yeah, you know, yeah. And it's like I was telling you, right? I said about consistency, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's all about consistency. And mm-hmm. that's something that you have to be constantly coming out with a show every week.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. and I mean, have you found that challenging for you to, I mean, I know you've been having shows, you know, yeah. here and there, but do you feel it challenging after a while where you have to constantly have to be, you know, I got to get this show up and running because if I don't do it, no one's going
to
do it.
Yeah. I think having the 6 week gap, like the 6 to 8 week gap kind of helps a little bit. Mm-hmm. When we were doing once a month, I felt the pressure more there because it was like, just like you said, like, all right, I got to get the ball rolling on this. I got to get the ball rolling on this.
Mm-hmm.
Having that gap now, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, it's a little bit easier, but no, like it's still, there's still pressure on me because, you know, I still got to put the match together, the match card together. I got to, you know, figure out finances for it all.
Right.
Budgetary stuff. You know, sometimes some talents aren't available, so now I got to work around that.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, the week of the show, somebody might say, I'm not available, you know, something came up and I'm not going to be able to make it, so now I got to scramble to figure that out. So it, you know, the pressure's definitely on there. But now with that 6 to 8 weeks, I have plenty of time to, you know, start marketing, start putting out graphics, start, you know, going around and passing out flyers.
Right, right,
you know, all
right.
my social media stuff, get the guys, you know, to make promos or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with, I think having it less frequently has helped out a lot. And I would love to get to something like weekly shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid that it might affect the, like I said, the quality of what's going to happen.
I got you.
Because I'm going to have to, you know, spread, or not spread so much, but I'm going to have to kind of like, okay, I got to plan this week and this week and this week. So
right,
I don't
right.
get to put that much attention into
right,
what's exactly. going on. You know, yeah. maybe if I had a bigger team to help out with stuff like that. I mean,
right.
WWE has a huge freaking team. AEW
yeah.
yeah. has a team to do
yeah.
all of these things.
Right.
For me, it's kind of just me doing a lot of the stuff and Pete and Nightmare helping me out.
Right.
With, you know, some of the logistical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it's me, like budgetary, you know. I'm an accounting major for, you know, in school right now.
Right, right.
So I'm doing all the accounting. A lot of the creative I'm doing. Matchmaking is all me. So, you know, having all these hats, if I were to do it, you know, every week, I'd probably lose my mind, honestly.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe you.
Yeah, for sure.
I believe you. Yeah, because I mean,
it's definitely like a moving vehicle.
Yeah.
While you're trying to change the tires, you know.
No kidding, man.
It's one thing after another.
Yeah, I mean, consider the fact, you know, like this pod, you know, getting guests to come in or yeah. like yourself, you called us up and said, hey, man, I want to be, when do you have time? Yeah, I love those. Those are my favorite guests. When they call in and tell me, hey, I want to be in your pod. I go, you know what? I can do it. Unfortunately, I'm kind of booked right now, but I'll get you in.
Yeah.
But, you know.
We get that too. We get, like, just now I had some talent reach out to me and they're like, hey, you know, we're interested in working with Combat Colt. We're from, you know, this place. We've worked here and there. And it's like, man, I already have most of my August and my October booked. Yeah. Like, I already have plans, but I'd like to bring you guys on.
Right.
So, you know, I get that a lot, like, all the time. We get tons of talent reaching out to us, you know, that they want to work with us. And, you know, a lot of it's kind of just like, I already had my plans. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody does drop out, then, you know, I'll keep you in mind. Mm-hmm. But once I start planning, you know, because I try to plan like at a quarter of time, you know, which ends up being like two shows now that we're doing 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
And so, you know, I try to plan ahead of time so that way. But there's even like, you know, some drawbacks to that because you plan ahead of time. And like I said, some talent might say yes now, but, you know, later on it might be.
At that moment, they say, you know what?
There's been like the day of that people call me like, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it.
Oh, wow.
You know, car broke down or something happened with the family. You know, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm sorry. And, you know, I don't hold any grudges.
Mm-hmm.
I know life happens. It happens to me all the time, you know.
Yeah, right.
So, like I said, I don't hold grudges. You know, we'll just figure it out on the next one. But it's kind of unfortunate because the next one might be already booked up.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But and I like the fact that you say you try to keep it like at least 6 to 8 weeks.
8 weeks
apart from each other.
Yeah.
Which keeps the talent fresh and actually keeps the storyline up and running a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
and it keeps the manager on his toes.
It keeps him awake.
Awake.
But I mean, consider the fact that, I mean, 6 to 8 weeks in between, I mean, for a fan that follows you guys, at one point they're going to be like, oh, it's a little bit of a limbo. But at the same time, they're like looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
What's going to happen next? Yeah. You know, so I mean, have you received any, have you had any fans come up to you and ask you to go in and say, hey man, what's going on? Why are you all taking so long to do a match?
I've had a few, not in those words, but I have had a few that are like, hey, how come you don't do them once a month again? Or how come you don't try every week? And it, you know, I don't want to like, not that I don't, like I said, I don't want to do every week because I would love to do something like that. But it's just the constraints, you know. A lot of, you know, the talent has to be available. You know, I can't book my champion, Brick Savage, every week.
Right.
And Brick Savage is booked up, you know, every weekend. So I can't tell Brick, come over here, you know, for the next, like, 3 weeks and take a week off and do it. You know, he's, right. You know, Brick's getting paid
right.
Other places, too. So, you know, right. That's kind of the hard thing about having independent contractors is, you know, they're not always available.
Right.
They're going to take the bookings as they see fit.
Yeah, I seen videos of the guy. That's a big boy.
Yeah, Brick
gives Pete Payne a run for his money.
Fun enough, I mean, they've had a match together.
Oh
Brick,
my gosh.
Brick and Pete with another gentleman in Brownsville, and I didn't get to watch the match, but I heard, you know, it was pretty good.
Clash of the Titans, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm itching.
I feel sorry for that ring.
Yeah, no, I'm itching to see them in a match together. Like, well, I got to make that happen pretty soon. So
yeah, I got Hazita saying he don't hold grudges. He just has Pete Payne squish you. Yeah, that pretty much is
fair. Fair. Is that what happened to Kakawatan? No grudges.
He hasn't been here in a while, but don't worry, he'll be back soon enough. But yeah, man. I mean, I've seen this guy's videos. I've seen him in action on some of the on his YouTube, and also I think he has a TikTok also. Man. And I was checking him out. I go, boy, this boy, this guy's he's a big boy.
Yeah, Brick.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
Brick's not signed yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if Brick gets signed by the end of the year, you know, or next year. It's very soon because Brick.
He's definitely contract worthy.
Very talented.
Yeah. Very big boy.
Very talented. Big boy. Brick's gotten a couple of opportunities. You know, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Brick gets signed in, you know, a year from now.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. That boy, that's a big boy.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to, I know you say you bring down talent down and to wrestle with your boys down here. I know a lot of them. I've heard stories from some wrestlers that are in different organizations. They tell me that I look forward to it because it's like a training method for them because these guys are. They've been around, you know, they've wrestled different places and they talk on the feedback on that. They go, this is the feedback they want. Mm-hmm. Has any of these wrestlers come and talk to you about, I mean, how to organize your wrestling matches or what's a plan for this? What's a plan for that? Or you say, hey man, I do my thing. You don't worry about it.
So I'm very collaborative. If a talent comes to me and suggests something, I'm open to the discussion. I'm not going to completely dismiss it and say, well, oh, like, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
That's not me. Yeah. Even if I was Vince McMahon, I think I would listen to the talent a little bit and get their perspective on things because they know their character. They know them as a person. They know their capabilities, their weaknesses, and their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
So if a talent comes to me and suggests something, I'll keep an open ear to it. If I think they're, and most of the time, like 90% of the time, they're not being, you know, marks for themselves. You know, they're not just doing it to get them to win, you know, a championship or even a match.
Right.
They're kind of just suggesting things, the way things can go and whatnot. So, you know, like I said, I'm open to the discussion. But at the end of the day, I do have the last say.
Right.
You know,
What about perhaps a business partner if it gets big enough or you know?
So, I've been in those shoes before, and I was very open to a lot of the things even if I didn't agree with them.
Okay,
I kind of just said okay, you know what? Let's see what happens. Let's see if it works. If it works, cool. If it doesn't, you know, we'll have to reevaluate what we're doing.
Right,
and. You know, not everybody does think that way, though. So, you know, if you're not taking the advice that, you know, somebody else is giving you, and something fails, you know, you do really have to kind of think, maybe I should have listened to this person. But, as far as business partners, you know, I kind of see Pete and Nightmare in that sense.
Right.
I do take a lot of their advice, you know, and I kind of listen to it. There are some things that, you know, they're Pete and Nightmare. They're wrestlers, you know, they're wrestlers.
So we're doing this. Okay.
I said we're doing it this way, brother.
Can you let go of my throat now?
Yeah, no shit, right? Yeah. Don't chop me, Pete, please. Yeah, they're wrestlers, so they see it a certain way where I'm not a wrestler. So I'm coming from this from a business perspective.
Right.
So I might see it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the end of the day, we, you know, we'll come to an agreement. You know, we're very, like I said, collaborative. I think being in a collaborative kind of thing kind of is important. We've all had those bosses before that are, you know, dictators, you know, what they say goes, and you all fucking hate that guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I got in the position that I am, I'm very open to listening to suggestions. But yeah, no, you know, to answer your question, like business partner wise, I try to keep that open ear, that open mind, but I still need to keep that sense of, okay, this is the project that we have. This is the goal that I'm trying to accomplish with this business. You know, I can't deviate too much from that.
So you want to keep it independent for a little while?
Yeah, just a little bit, you know. Okay. I'm like I said, I'm open to business partners. I actually spoke with somebody recently who's interested, you know, in jumping in and, you know, buying a piece of the company. And, you know, I'm open to the idea. I just think we need to have the right mindset. You know, we need to be able to gel and mesh correctly.
Yeah, it's the right partner. It's just like anything else.
Exactly. Because the first time I was open up to a partnership, that didn't happen so much.
Right.
And, you know, God bless, you know, that company's now doing their own thing and we're doing our own thing. But that didn't really kind of, that wasn't really the right fit, I guess.
Sure.
You know, now if somebody wants to come in, like the gentleman I spoke with, you know, we had a very long discussion. We kind of agreed to sit down for 1 hour, and we ended up sitting down for like 3 hours.
Just talking.
Okay. Yeah, just talking about business and not just wrestling business, but business itself.
And in the morning they made waffles.
But yeah, it was a very good conversation. And, you know, I'm excited to see where that goes, if it goes anywhere. But at the end of the day, this is business. And if business makes sense and I do get a business partner for that,
sure.
You know, then yeah, like I'm going to, like we have to collaborate on that.
Yeah. Cause, the only reason I ask is because I keep hearing how the Valley is growing and you know, if the attendance at events like this is any indication, then yeah, I'm sure a lot of people want to like jump in right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, I was just wondering if that's like something that's ever come up before.
Yeah, no, it definitely has, and I'm sure it'll come up again. I think a lot of what we're doing, I mean, we're only 3 years old, so we're barely getting, you know, the momentum that we need, right? And people are starting to listen. They're starting to, you know, turn their eye like, "Oh, what's going on over here?" You know, I think our product is very different from other products down out here. You know, I think a lot of places here focus on like family entertainment.
Sure.
And not to say that we're not family friendly. You know, we still keep a very almost clean show.
There you go.
But I figure, you know, there's some stuff to be desired. There's I think in the 90s, one of the biggest things was ECW. You know, ECW was crazy. It had a cult-like following.
Right.
Yeah.
And even to this day, people talk about ECW.
People still talk about it.
Did it do great business-wise? No. You can sit down and watch any ECW documentary, and it'll tell you how, you know, financially it wasn't working. But it's a different day and age now. You know,
But culturally, it had a really big impact.
Even on WWE or ECW or WCW, like,
yes,
they were poaching talent from there. That was kind of like a farm system almost.
Yeah.
And you know, even now, today's wrestling, a lot of people, you know, they'll say, guys like Sabu were their inspiration, or Rob Van Dam or whoever. So ECW had a huge following, and I kind of look, I don't want to say we're ECW, like, at all, because ECW is just, it's so different. But I kind of want to say we're similar in that aspect, where we're kind of focusing more on the mature side of stuff. Not that we're having, you know, strippers at our show or
anything like that,
you know, but we...
It's more the sports side of it.
Yeah, it's kind of the sports side of it, kind of the competition-based aspect of wrestling,
right.
Mm-hmm. With a little bit of, like, an edgy side to it.
Oh, okay.
Yes. You know, you look at our logo... And it's a freaking Reaper with a coffin, and, you know, the name Combat Colt. Like, you can't go to a school with that, and, you know, in front of kindergartners and say, hey, this is Combat Colt Wrestling.
Like, mommy, what's friends?
What's a Colt?
Mommy, what's a Colt?
I want to join that Colt.
They offered me Kool-Aid.
Enough with the Kool-Aid, man.
One of them kicked me in the face.
Let me go and big shout out to our sponsors real quick, because we gotta pay the bills, man. Here you go.
Is it that time of the show?
Is that time of the show, guys?
Wow.
Give Juan a call at 956-854-9622 for Triple J Plumbing, licensed plumbers of the Valley, guys. Give them a call. Also call Jerry at 956-478-5316. They are certified plumbers. Very good at what they do. Hospital grade. I know. They were telling me, also let you know, guys, they do water heaters also, because there's a lot of water heaters being returned. It's up that time of year to get a new water heater. So these are the guys you want to get a hold of. I know I was talking to Jerry earlier today, and we are due for a brand new commercial for them. No magic mic music like we did last time, even though it was Chu's idea.
Jerry likes his commercials, sir.
It was Chu's idea, but no.
It worked, didn't it?
It did work a little bit. Yeah. But, guys, give them a call. And don't forget, guys, your crap is their bread and butter. Also, big shout-out to Adonis Construction, Tony. Give him a call, 956-363-7195. These guys, great craftsmanship, great contractors, renovations on residential, commercial, remodel,
ground up builds, brand new builds.
Brand new build, man. These guys are great, man. They're doing great things in the Valley right now. Give them a call and let them know Chewy News sent you. So, back to our regularly scheduled program over here. Talking to Mr. Eddie Garza here on Combat Cult, the owner of the promotion. Promotion is a good word. We'll use promotion. But
write that down somewhere.
Let me write it down. Let me type it in. No, but switching gears, we know there's a big event coming up in your neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah.
I think I have a picture of it right now. Let me see if I have it here real quick.
We have a poster, too.
We got a poster also. I'm going to put this on there so they can see the QR code real quick. If you want to show the poster, put the poster up. Go for it. It's all you right there.
I hold it.
You hold it? Okay. Well, anything's better than covering Chu's face. So pick it up a little higher than Chu. A little bit higher. Perfect. God, that ugly mug is covered. But...
I'm still here.
Talk to us a little bit about this event coming up there.
Yeah, buddy. So June 8th, again at the Cine Rey, historic Cine Rey, will be there. I believe doors open at 4, show starts at 5. We have some great matches coming up ahead. I do have to unfortunately announce that Nikki Fuego versus Tina Nix will not be happening. We had them scheduled to wrestle, and Nikki will be in Florida.
Yes,
she will be in Florida.
I'm super excited
for her.
Jacinto had reached out to me and told me about that, man. I was at awe, like, oh my god, dude. And I was seeing the list.
Yeah. Is that why she hasn't returned my call?
She's big timing you now.
She's big timing now.
Oh my god.
I saw the list of people on this. It was like an autograph session.
Yeah, they're gonna have like a WrestleCon.
Yeah, WrestleCon. They have Hacksaw Jim Duggan's on the ticket. You got Grand Girl, it's on there. You got what's her name? Rosa.
Thunder Rosa.
Thunder Rosa is gonna be there also. There's quite a few legends that'll be in. And then for someone here, well, two people actually, because Thunder Rosa is from this around this area also.
She wrestled here. Yeah. I believe she's from California.
Yeah, but I mean to have
San Antonio now.
To have one of our own homegrown to be out there, that's an achievement.
From
big
West
shout out to
Texas.
I know.
From
big
West
shout out to
Texas.
Big shout out to
congratulations, this, Nikki
Fuego, man.
Yeah, killing it already.
Exactly. Oh, and I got a Maria A tuning in here. This is a family show. Yes, it is.
it's who going told to be you that, Maria?
A banger this Sunday. Yeah, it is. I hope so, man.
We have some good matches ahead. You know, scheduled ahead. We have a Chris Austin versus Exodus Prime. If you don't know who Exodus Prime is, you just got to look him up. He's a hell of a talent. He's made the, I believe, the PWI Top 100 already.
Oh, wow.
You know, he's going to tangle with Chris. They have a little feud going on right now.
Really?
Each of them has cost each other, you know, a title match, and they have some blood out for each other. They actually got into a nice little brawl at the end of one of our shows in January.
Do I smell a cage match coming?
I would love to have a cage match. Maybe we can make that happen.
And Chew can be the ref.
I'll even shave my head for it. That seems to be what
I can imagine you in a walker. Hold on, I'm almost there. Hold on. All right, let me get on the ground. One, two.
Ah, Miller!
Damn it! No, but we got them going on. We have Demo Diamond versus Daddy Daniel Ismail.
Okay.
Everybody loves Daddy right now. He's fortunately he moved to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, right.
But he has been making appearances here, you know, with Combat Cold, and I believe he went out the Landmark. So, you know, he's a fan favorite. Come out and watch him. He's going to be wrestling Demo Diamond. Mm-hmm. Demo actually had a really great match with Daniel's tag partner, Mooncat Franco. Back in January, they actually all got to mix it up in Rumble in April, and you know, unfortunately, Mooncat and Daniel weren't the winner of that. You know, would have loved to see them win that. That would have been a cool opportunity, but you know, Demo kind of got in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. So I guess you can say this is a little bit of a grudge match too. And then you know, the big match. You know, we have plenty of them, but the big one, the main event, is actually be James Blackheart versus our absolute champion, Brick Savage.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So Blackheart.
Oh my god.
Blackheart. So Blackheart was actually our absolute champion for a good while, especially when we were here at you know, at Suerte. He held that title for a good while. He defended it, lost it to Brick last September, and you know, he's coming back for the throne. He's going to come for Brick, and you know, Brick's been putting on some really good matches with some of our locals. Like I said earlier, Kiki Caballero and him had a really good match.
Right.
So, like I said, Blackheart coming back for the throne. We'll see if he can take it.
Yeah. Now, nice. I know. Just a heads up for those that are watching, I should have Blackheart on the pod, I think, late July. His full stable will be here, so that's gonna be interesting. So just tune in for the late second to the last week of July. He will be on in the podcast on a Thursday night. So yeah, I got another. Here says, yeah, unfortunately they had to pull Nikki from the event, but. That you guys are for the support. Thank you guys for the support. Thanks for calling my call. Understanding the family will still be in Cine, God willing. All right, and I got another one here. I said I got a Danger Boy 19. Let's go.
Hey.
Saying right here, and then Maria A. Once again, if I had money, I'd put it all back on Brick. Well. You and me both, sister.
Not a slight to Blackheart at all, because Blackheart is a talent in his own right.
Yeah,
Brick is they call Brick the World Breaker. Brick is, when they had that match back in September, we had it at Tacos and Tequila Fest in McAllen.
You said the magic words there.
Tacos and tequila. And wrestling.
And wrestling. In McAllen?
Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to probably do it again this year. We'll probably be there again.
All right.
Something in my eye. But no, Brick and when Blackheart actually held his own with Brick. Mm-hmm. Austin was in that match too. Austin's having some really good matches. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, him and Exodus kind of steal the show too. But yeah, no, I mean, we have tons of talent here in the Valley. showcasing them, you know, against some of the best in Texas. You know, we got Stud Stash coming. Stud Stash used to wrestle here.
I actually want to have him on the podcast. But this is, I think when we were in the first studio, he was supposed to come down, but unfortunately he wasn't able to. That's another guy I would love to have on the pod. Yeah,
Stud is awesome, man. He's been doing some really good stuff in San Antonio with United 210. Mm-hmm. I know they had a little hiccup. You might have seen it on Facebook. I know they're having some trouble with their space where they perform.
Okay.
But, you know, Stud's doing some really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Excited to have Stud back here in McAllen. We've had him for one of our shows last year when we were collaborating with another company and reached out to us. He said he wanted to come down again, and, you know, I'm excited to have him.
Yeah, man. I mean, if he comes with that bike fender.
That bike fender, man. I hate to get smacked with that.
That is dangerous, bro. Yeah, that is dangerous.
He'll be actually having a match with Ethan Hunter, who's right in the top corner next to Blackheart on the poster.
Okay.
Ethan Hunter is the Borracho Pro straight shooter champion, I believe. It'll be a non-title match. But they actually have another match in San Antonio in 2 weeks after, you know, our event for the title.
Right.
So if anybody wants to make a trip out to San Antonio, you know, they'll be having a really cool match out there with Blackbird Pro, who will actually be collaborating with the show. Yeah.
And if you guys are looking at that poster right there, right now, I have it on the big screen right now. You're looking at that poster, the brick right there in front. That's actual size. That's how big he is compared to the other ones. That's actual life size right there. You know,
fits the scale.
It fits his perfect. He took most of the poster. He's really heavy too. make sure you hit that QR code to get more information, get the tickets, and it will be on June 8th, this Sunday, the historical Cine del Rey. Guys, get your tickets, get out there and support not only your local wrestlers, but all these talents that are coming down to come showcase down here. That's a must, guys. That's a must. I got more people. Tuning in. I got Danny Boy 19 and Savage is King, and I got Danger Boy saying face blue wide eyes. Okay. Inside joke.
He's got a good point.
All right, then we'll leave it at that. Because that's a chew joke. But but anyways, so I like the fact. I mean, I'm gonna tell you something right now, man. I like the fact that you guys. Not with a lot of the promotions here in the Valley, that it's an open, like, I guess open campus. I'm not sure if I can use that word. Anybody know what open campus is? You're my age. Oh, open campus.
There's no guards here. We can leave.
We can walk out and go to another promotion and do that. I think that's a lot of love for a lot of the promotions down here, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you see that? I mean, as far, because I've seen some of these New Breed wrestlers go over to Comic Call, I've seen some of the Comic Call come to New Breed. It's a beautiful sharing mechanism you guys have going on right now. I mean, I know, like I said, yours is basically 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So some of these guys jump back to do their thing and then they come back to you again. I mean, has there ever been an issue where, you know what? Oh man, I got injured over here, but I had you on a promotion over here. Has there ever been an issue like that?
Not injury wise. Not that I can recall. We have had some instances where, you know, they're going to be booked at one show, and then another one, like ours or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And not just at Landmark, but other shows. It's happened before. I'm good with them. You know, if they're good with it, working both shows.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, you know, Danny Chance over there at New Breed is cool with it too. But as far as, like, you know, somebody, like, I had somebody advertised and then they get injured. No, I haven't had that. I don't believe Danny has
knock
either.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Everybody just knock on wood. Right? Knock on wood, people. Yeah, on wood.
Knock on wood. Knock on a virgin. There you go. Knock on a virgin. But no, it does get a little, intricate when you have to plan around these kind of things,
right?
For both sides, because, you know, we want the guys to get the most out of, you know, the weekend that they can, because they you know, they're not going to get this weekend back, but we are kind of concerned if they're going to get injured or not,
right?
So, you know, luckily we haven't run into that issue, but it can get a little I guess it can get a little difficult trying to plan around these things.
Yeah. I can see. I can understand that. Yeah.
So a lot of our local talent hasn't been like pulled out of any of our shows. It's mostly been like out of towners. Whatever reasons.
That's good. That's good.
Injury-wise or whatnot.
I got Mary Aces. I can't wait. I already have my VIP front row seat. Wow, get the blood and sweat and tears right in front of you there. I got Danger Boy for you. He put something up here. I don't know what this is. It's Super Chat. Okay, $4.99. I don't know what that is, buddy. Okay. He's saying, let's go. I go, that's his OnlyFans. celebrating my birthday with the Comeback Cult family. Ooh. And Danger Boy is saying, join the cult. Combat cult. Hey, yeah, nice. There you go. There you go. Drink but the Kool-Aid. It's crazy, man. I mean, you got you. So far. I mean, I've been to a Combat Cult event. I know when you guys had it here at Club Suerte downstairs, man. It was interesting. I took my boy to go watch that, and I've taken him to see the dark shows. Like for WWE when they come down here, the RGV and stuff like that, and he's excited, you know, he's great, you know, everything. But that one in particular event you had here, he just lost it, man. He was going nuts. Kick him in the face, hit him in the face. I'm like, look at him, like, well, damn boy, what's going on? But he loved it, and I mean, it's a family. Like I said, it's a family oriented event. You come out, have a good time. I mean, it takes me back when I was a kid. My dad used to take me to wrestling events. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's so cool about all these promotions here in the RGV. You miss one, there's another one coming up. Mm-hmm. You miss that one, there's another one coming up. You know, you get the opportunity to jump by. Most of the time, like I said, the transfers of different promotions using the same, you know, wrestlers and everything. And, you know, and it's funny because sometimes some of the storylines carry over to other areas, you know, and... One that I watch a lot, I've been watching a lot. I mean, and I'm just gonna switch gears again here. Is the guy I'm watching? I love Mooncat. I like love watching Mooncat's one hell of a wrestler, dude. I love watching him wrestle.
I'd like him a lot more if he'd return our phone call.
He doesn't even have a phone.
He talks to the moon.
That's right. That's
comes back to you.
Yeah, no. And the one that caught my eye now, the one that's caught my eye all now. All these promotions that he's doing, all these little skits he does, is Maravilla. Maravilla, man. He's been...
Frank the Tank,
man. Oh, my gosh. You were here when Quez was here.
Yeah.
When the first episode we had in our studio, he came in. Him and Big Poppy were here. And they were all popping these little poppers that were in the air. This guy, he's... He is a great wrestler, and I hate to bring... If you guys are WWE fans, I hate to bring this up.
Oh, I love it.
But he reminds me so much of R-Truth. I don't know why. And right now, knowing the fact that R-Truth is no longer WWE, which I am really ticked off right now.
We want truth.
Oh, did you... If you watched Raw last night...
Last night, they were chanting it.
They were chanting it, like... And they had to literally...
Bleep
it all the audience out, tone them out, and just put audio over that chat through every single match. Mm-hmm. I mean, my point is, you get what the fans want. You get what the fans want, and Frank does it, man. Every week, almost every week, he comes out with these little skits, and they're hilarious.
I've seen a lot of them. They're very hilarious. Entertaining. He's a very entertaining individual.
Do you tell your wrestlers, hey, man, you need to do stuff like this? Yeah. I mean, have you reached out to anyone? Yeah, we need to start. Oh, great. Now I got a Hasito saying here. Ooh, likes STDs.
STDs.
Oh, my God. Really? We have to go there, guys? Come on.
He really does.
Shut up.
He loves them.
But your wrestlers in your promotion, do you try to help kind of push a little bit, or you let them do that on their own?
So I do ask for them. I don't make them mandatory. Some places do. We have had a couple of we call them promos. You know, some of the guys cut promos.
Yep.
But Frank's promos, I've seen them. Yeah, this guy's wild, man. he's got a personality, you know. And when he's ready for a combat ring, we'll be there. But he to that caliber, there's maybe been like a handful that we've had like that, like with Frank's.
Yeah.
Danny Daniel, he cuts some very, very powerful ones sometimes.
Right.
Um, And Kike Caballero cut one not too long ago before his match with Brick. That one was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
And we try to, we don't really implement them a lot on our social medias as much as we do like on our match episodes.
Okay.
So we upload our matches on YouTube.
Okay.
Right now I believe we're barely starting our March show. Our matches from March. But you know, we try to implement any promos that the guys put on there. We let them post it on their social medias.
Right.
You know, we don't really post it on ours.
Right.
But as soon as you know our YouTube videos drop, that's normally where their promos will be. So that way, you know, the audience, whoever's watching, you know, who might have missed the actual show,
right,
or you know, wasn't on social media or looking at our stuff at that time,
yeah,
if they're watching our YouTube videos, they can kind of see, you know, what transpired before to get to that
right
to that match. So
yeah, because every time I see him, I just like the way he starts off. Frank the tank Maravilla. I love it. It's they're fun to watch, and I need to step into some of the guys that do promos for your Chihuahua. I keep saying sponsorship. Why do I keep saying promotion?
Because you want promotion.
You want a sponsor.
But and I've seen those, man, and they're so entertaining, man. I love watching good promos like that.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch.
I feel like that's what's missing, honestly. You know, Frank puts them out. You know, a handful of other guys do too. But if you look at wrestling in the big leagues, like WWE's and AEW's, their promo work is different. Like it's up there, and that's what connects with people. You know, you're gonna get in the ring. You're gonna, you know, you're gonna get people to cheer for you or boo you or whatever.
Right, right.
But let's just say you're a new fan, you know, and you say, hey, this Combat Cold thing looks pretty cool. Let me go on their social medias or let me go on YouTube to see what they're about, you know. And they see, let's just say, you know, a Daddy Galvan. You know, who's this guy? Like, I don't. He's holding up his finger, you know, on the poster, but I don't know who he is.
Right.
Well, let me watch this little clip. That's going to tell you who that wrestler is.
Exactly.
That's going to tell you why they wrestle for, you know, for what they wrestle for. Right.
What promotion
they're wrestling for. Exactly. Yeah. Or what's going on in that promotion. Mm-hmm. Why they're going to even have that match.
Right.
You know, I think promos are very important. I don't tell the guys to shoot them because I want more content, which it does help, right? But I want them to, one, I want them to exercise that muscle in them, you know.
Right.
You know, if you're not cutting promos, you're not getting better at them.
Right.
And if you want to be anywhere, you're gonna have to cut these eventually. So I want them to practice that, and I want them to be able to explain that narrative before the match, so that way when the match happens, it makes it that much clearer.
I got you.
Maybe if there's any up and coming media consultants that want to help them out with that,
bro.
Maybe
I don't know, bro.
Maybe
I see it. You see the way I see it, I would do promos like back in the 90s, though. I used to do short promos, just like DJ Andre X used to do the promos, stuff like that, man. Just watching it because
our old 80s too. Those were awesome.
The guy with the little microphone. Yep. What do you want to say?
Yep. Yeah. Mean Gino over here. But yeah, you know. That's the cool thing about a lot of the Valley talent, man. They have so much talent. People need to come out and see these shows, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you see these shows and be associated, be a fan, be a huge fan to keep this wrestling scene alive. And they're doing it.
Yeah.
Social media is where they can follow you there, Eddie.
If you're on Instagram and TikTok, which we don't really use a lot, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, we're at Combat Cult Wrestling. Yep. If you're on Twitter/X, we are at Combat Cult Fight.
Right. And I got Chube holding up wrong picture right there. He's holding up that bad boy. That's QR code right there. So you can find out what's going on. I have another QR code right there for Combat Cult Wrestling for upcoming events. Hit them up, man. They got some great stuff coming on, stuff coming on. You do not want to miss. But there you go, man. Let me go and exit all that stuff out here. But hold on, I got some more people tuning in real quick. Let me get this real fast.
Show's almost over. Where you been?
Here he goes, and I got another one here. He goes, since Nikki versus Tina has to be pulled, how about Chu and Eddie? Really? Chu and Eddie against NOP? I think
I got 5 minutes to kick someone's ass.
I've rolled with Pete before, so yeah. I think I can hold my own.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got time.
I love the commentate.
I am a purple belt. I am a purple belt.
I am gonna scratch your eyes out so hard.
So why? I kind of believe leg. You, buddy.
Pass me the leg.
Eddie, I want to say thank you so much, man, for coming on the podcast, man.
Thanks,
man. I mean, continue doing what you're doing, bro. Keep your dream alive.
Thank you.
And all these young wrestlers that are coming into your area alive. Is there anywhere they can reach out to you if they want, you know, try to get on your promotion or anything like that?
Follow the Combat Cold page, reach out to me, you know, just introduce yourself, tell me what your goals are, and we'll try to make it happen.
Don't show up cold. Don't just show up to the like senior race.
Well, you can. No, that's great too. A lot of people shy away from that. No, show up to the show, introduce yourself. That's what I did. I showed up to WR, introduced myself, and you know I am where I am now, right? But
I think she was saying like showing up and jumping in the ring.
Don't show up to the show. I'm sorry, let me elaborate. Don't show up to the show in trunks. I'm ready to go in there.
Yeah, bring your gear, but no, don't do that. Don't jump into the ring like that. Yeah. Bring your gear. Ask if you can, and you know we'll see what happens.
But if you are talent that wants to like possibly join the show, then you know you. Contact through the socials.
That guy has to tell me, what? It hasn't even been an hour yet. I go, it is an hour, bro.
It's been an hour, Jacinto.
We were on like 6:30. Where the hell have you
been? And I got Danger Boy saying, we want Martin in Combat Cold.
Martin in Combat Cold.
You know what, guys?
Is he old enough?
I think so. Hey, guys, if you watch that in particular, remember what I said, guys? Uh-huh. The camera's right on me right now. Remember what I said in that episode? He is a... what's the word I'm looking for? He's an opportunist. Mm-hmm. The guy's an opportunist. He clarified it on our show that he was an opportunist. Now, he also said, if Toxico got that belt, his best friend got that belt, he would be happiest guy in the world for him. Remember, business... is business. That's all I'm going to say to you guys.
Bullshit! But, no.
Oh, my gosh.
No one stands on business when they're on the bottom, dude. I'm sorry. No.
But anyways, Eddie, once again, thank you so much for coming out and having some fun with us, bro. All I can say is nothing but best wishes to you, man, and hopefully it all comes together like a pair of butt cheeks and works out for you, bro, because it's there, man.
Well, we
it's
are the there. Shit, so
there you go.
Perfect. Oh, nice.
There you go. I was waiting for that one.
Alley-oop.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that is our podcast for the night. Thank you so much for watching. We will be back Thursday night next week at 7:30 with a young gentleman who owns a ranch, horse stables, dude.
Ooh. Yep.
Horse stables. It's going to be an issue. A young gentleman, he's not even 21 yet, and he owns...
There's going to be a pony in the studio, isn't there?
No.
Genuine pony?
No.
No pony for you, buddy. No. Trust me. No pony for you. Not my little pony, you little jabroni. Nothing like that. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. Chew, any last words?
Because you've been requesting so much... The leg's coming off.
No, we're going to take that out there.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Guys, here we also, go. Don't forget, guys.
Where are you going?
We actually have our cats on sale. Go straight to that QR code. You can purchase them. We get them sent out to you. ASAP has choose actually modeling it off right there.
Right there.
And I got nice. T-shirts also that are available that you can go on there and buy them also. sign us out, Chew.
I've been Chew.
And I am. Well, let me get this out. There you go. Hide that. We can't be selling them all the time. I am Lou. And we will see you next week, 7:30 on Thursday night. Ladies, Gators.
All right, buddy.